Hello, everybody. Runa here, and I am very excited for this special interview that I'm going to take with my very good friend and fellow changemaker, Guido, or Guido Szymanski, like I always say, and he always laughs. I'm just going to tell you a little bit about him. He is an internationally renowned teacher and coach who has significantly impacted the lives of individuals in the public eye. With a background in stage and screen, Guido's journey has led him to work closely with senior executives, professional athletes, and notable figures in the entertainment industry. Throughout his career, Guido has developed transformational programs that help his clients navigate the pressures and expectations that come with their positions. His unique approach focuses on enabling individuals to become the best version of themselves, harnessing their potential and enjoying their achievements. As the creator of the successful audition programs for creative high achievers, Guido has played a pivotal role in guiding aspiring artists and performers to overcome self-sabotage and unlock their full potential. Through coaching, he helps his clients excel in their respective fields and cultivate a deep sense of fulfillment in their artistic purpose. Guido's approach to coaching and teaching is rooted in the belief that individuals can draw on 100% of their potential, even in the face of immense pressure and expectations. By helping his clients develop a strong mindset, tap into their creativity, and enjoy their accomplishments, Guido has become a trusted advisor and mentor to high-achieving individuals seeking sustainable success and personal fulfillment. His work amplifies the essence of leadership beyond genders, at least how I see it, as he guides individuals to break free from the social expectation and embrace their unique strengths and talents. Guido's teachings inspires individuals of all genders to step out of the confines of gender roles and society norms. This enables them to create a powerful impact in their chosen field and lead authentically and purposefully. And if that isn't being a leader with beyond gender, then I don't know what is. So welcome, Guido.
Thank you. Where did you find all that?
I know you. So it's when you know a little thing, you can put a little thing together. But let's dive into our conversations today. And I want to start with this topic about unleashing your inner high performer. You have worked with numbers of high achieving individuals and to help them tap into their full potential. And you talk a lot about being in the natural flow of life. Can you share some techniques or practices that can help leaders, regardless of gender, unleash their inner higher performance and being able to consistently operate at their peak level, trusting their natural flow at the same time?
Yes, dive straight in. So it might be important to understand that when we say I work with people in the public eye or under immense pressure, these are footballers from the national teams, and these are male and female footballers in national teams, where we already are entering the gender roles, you know. These are people who are on stage, especially in music theater, but also film, pop stars, and of course, corporate CEOs. What combines them is that they have to perform under a certain pressure while dealing, as we all do, with their conditioning. And what I love to dive into, always love to dive into, is the conditioning of each individual mindset. And conditioning is how are we being brought up? And that is by your teachers, by your preachers, by your family. But of course, culturally, there's a huge impact on how I am supposed to be, what I'm worth, how I have to show up. And then, of course, nowadays, very different to how it was 10 or, you know, 20, 30 years ago, cultures are mixing so much. So you have people very often growing up in a multicultural household. Mm-hmm. Because you were a child of an immigrant, or parents are different cultures, and I find that very interesting to see when I work with people. So it's all about looking at what belief do you hold about yourself when you're facing pressure, when you are aiming for a goal, when you are trying to fulfill your role. When you try to lead, you talk about leadership a lot. When you are a leader, that brings up so many different triggers, because you are leading people. You have responsible not only for the people you lead, let's say for your employees, but also for the people you serve, for your company. So that brings up already so many different triggers in you. And then culturally, since we talk about genders, is okay. How do I see myself, and how do I believe people will see me?
Yeah.
So that's just a little preamble to understand. There's always a backdoor. I see, you know, your face is giving it away. There is so many backdoors we just have to keep in mind. So a technique, or that's not really a technique, is always, one of the biggest things I used to have on my mirror is, don't believe anything you think, especially about yourself. Oh. Now, that's going to piss off a lot of leaders, because they are being paid to think. However, our thinking will always come through our filtered minds, through our conditions.
Yeah.
And I used to say, or I like to say, what I say and what you hear are usually two very different things. And vice versa, what you say and what I hear, I already know. You have filtered it and I have filtered it, and therefore I am creating a story out of this. Mm-hmm. And if you just manage to take a split second in every big decision to go, okay, what I'm feeling here, how I react, what I'm thinking, is this really what I'm thinking, or is part of this a conditioned reaction?
Mm-hmm.
So that is one step I would always suggest. Don't believe anything you think. Question. Always try to take that bird's view on the situation. Always take yourself out and try to see the situation from the outside.
Mm-hmm.
In doing so, one technique I love, and that has a big bow actually, is setting an intention before everything you do. So if you are clear, if you go into a meeting, for instance, and you know, I am me in my gender, being in this conversation might trigger some people. Mm-hmm. That's a story you're already telling yourself.
Yeah.
Therefore, you go in with a story you transport, no matter what you say.
Yeah.
And it's not just your body language. I am absolutely sure that we transmit on so many different, we communicate on so many different levels. It's not just body language and the sound of our voice and the words. The feeling has hit before. And when people roll their eyes at me going, well, I don't believe any of that energetic bullshit, I go, do you or do you not feel if someone enters the room and they have this dark cloud around themselves? You don't even have to see them. And 9 out of 10 people say, of course you do. That's all I'm talking about. Yeah. So you bring in a story that runs in your head. And most of us don't check in. What's the story I'm telling myself? Oh, they will belittle me again because I'm a woman, or because I'm too young, or because I'm a man, or because I'm too old, or because I'm new in the position. And that's a story you transport. So by setting an intention, I would go into every meeting. I actually personally try to do that in any situation I enter. I go, okay, how do I ideally want this to unfold?
Yeah.
This is like the athlete that before the run runs that race in his mind. So you have, it's like you have the GPS and you put the needle in to where you want to go and how, well, where you want to end up.
Mm-hmm.
And the GPS will always find the perfect route for you.
Yeah.
Now, if you set that intention, again, you're getting clear on, oh, I'm thinking again, they belittle me because A, B, or C.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't say, well, I don't want to, you know, I don't want to be belittled. I go in and say, in this meeting, I will be seen for all of my resources, all of my qualities, and all talents I bring to the table and why I am so perfect for this. It's going to be an incredible exchange between two human people and two leaders who are trying to reach the same goal or create something together. Now, that's a wonderful intention.
Yeah.
And then forget about it. Let it go and just enter your damn meeting.
Yeah.
Because then you got to let it go because it will always be different than you expect. And the reason why I said before you create a big bow is this is how I start my day.
Mm-hmm.
I see more and more people who actually don't actually have the time, taking the time in the morning because they know, taking the pace out to set up their day right. So my camera is tilting a little bit here. So if you take, let it be 10 minutes, 50 minutes or an hour to calibrate yourself before you open your phone, move your body, work out a little bit, have your hot water or whatever floats your boat, do some journaling, meditate. I mean, I do a lot, but I can put that into my schedule. But with others, I know people who could commit to 15 minutes and that's great for them, others to 7 minutes. But what you do is you actually make sure you start your day on your own track. Because again, if we don't do that, we end up instantly in the intention of someone else. Because how many people of us open their eyes, immediately open their phone, see a message, and then you are a victim of whatever comes through. That might be nice, it might not be nice.
Yeah, exactly.
But instantly, your day is run by the agenda of someone else. Mm-hmm. So these are just, sorry, I'm...
No, I think that is just... because social conditioning, it's such a layers like you're mentioning. And those what I'm hearing you say also is by setting a clear intention when you go into a meeting or go into a day, it becomes you are leading. You are clear on what it is that the energy that you want to bring into the day, the energy that you want to bring into the meeting. And that is what you will reflect. And as like attracts like.
And it's accepting the fact that I am conditioned and you are conditioned. And therefore, I just want to be as clear as possible and not be run by my own triggers.
Yeah.
Whatever roles people expect me to play or I expect myself to play.
Yeah, exactly. Can you share, because I know you worked with high achievers, and like you said, both men and women. Can you share a story of someone who has managed to break through some of those gender conditionings? That were holding them back to reach their full potential, and it could be both man or woman. It's often it's kind of like stories always become of a woman who is doing that, but I think it's just as important for men are conditioned just the same.
Yeah, and what we had in a little conversation before, you know, when we label, let's say, being soft, being kind as feminine and being hard and strong as masculine, you know, this is where it starts. And there's loads of stories. The first thing that comes to mind is, and I haven't thought of it like that from a roles perspective, but I think it is in there because it's a very successful businessman who in our coaching journey, we approached me about different things, but there was one part where he was looking for a better dynamic with some of his business partners, especially one business partner. And in that role, a certain feeling came up, and that feeling reminded him, of course, we found this through coaching, he found a certain feeling that reminded him of his relationship with his father.
Mm.
Now, as we released this, what I always find so interesting is we released this in that session. A week later, 10 days later, I get a message saying, well, first of all, the dynamic in my business completely exchanged. It's very different because we released it at the root. Mm-hmm. It says, but interestingly enough, I now, for the first time, have a relationship with my father. And what I also loved, his blood pressure dropped. But that's, you know, so he linked this all together because that is the pressure in his system. Now, a lot of people, he was detached enough from his gender role to take a rather different route that I, you know, that I offer, because I do look at the links. When somebody comes in and says, we have a dynamic in my company, how can we solve this? People would usually go and look at the dynamic, and I look, okay, what is inside you? What is your conditioning that actually is part of that dynamic? And once we change that inside and being forgiving, being actually doing this work is not very manly.
Not considered to be manly.
Supposedly. I think it's very courageous. I mean, so. I used to joke in my forgiveness course, there was in one course, there were far more women than men. And I said, well, it's because you women have more balls than the men to actually look at your stuff.
Yeah, then that is interesting. And I just sidetracked from that. Do you think that could be the one of the reasons for that being the fact, and you see this all over the world, that women have more freedom, it's more expected, it's more a socially norm for women to be seen as someone who goes into that and is open to learn? Because we've got this in the society, there's been a lot of training for women and a lot of talk, much needed talk to empower women to do things and go in and step in and go outside of their homes and all of that. And I've sometimes wondered, you know, so that push has pushed them. It's acceptable. It's almost expected.
I would actually see it from a different angle, because now that you're saying this, I think what's more accepted is that women, and I mean, just saying this hurts me, women are more emotional. Mm. So you know, it's more as in...
That's the assumption, yeah.
That's the assumption. That's why I'm saying it almost pains me to even say this, because it's okay for them to go into something that's emotional, and that work will bring up some emotions.
Yeah, of course.
And so while you were saying this, it was almost like women, when we talk about workshops, it's very often, or it used to be, that women look inside and men look outside. So their workshops are going, how do I act differently?
Yeah.
And women look more at, okay, why am I holding myself back?
Yeah.
And I think there's nothing more masculine or feminine to just look inside and go, okay, who can I actually be?
Exactly. Exactly. Or, yeah. Or does it have to have that label? That's what I'm thinking. Could it be done without the label? What do you
it
think?
It should be done without the label. Of course. 100%. 100%.
Yeah. It's really, really, really good. I want to go into the place of, you mentioned it a little bit, but going into the place of fostering a culture of high performance. And when you, as a leader, and I'm seeing this leadership role, both being you as a leader in your life, as well as you as a leader, people that are leading a business or organization or a team or whatever that is, well, they see themselves as leaders. I know the concept is all over the place, but anyway, how can leaders, how can people that want to identify themselves as leaders, let's put it that way, stay in their flow and create an environment that encourages and supports high performance among their team members, and do that where they do it inclusively so that they become more aware of that unconscious biases, and they are holding the space, they are trusting their own flow in this process, and they can build a team where everyone in the team, regardless of how they see themselves, can thrive. And that flow bit is what I kind of like think is often for many of us a struggle, because we've been told.
I believe it's consciousness first. I said before, don't believe anything you think. To know, if I know I'm acting and reacting out of my filters, and I accept that others do the same, I noticed that in myself. I started communicating on a completely different level with people, because I could instantly look beyond. I mean, that's part of my job anyway nowadays.
Yeah.
But there's the story. There's the story and the identity people give you. And then there's always an identity behind that. And even if it's the identity, as I said before, not I believe I shouldn't be here, but I, you know, let's go into a woman who's in a leadership position and who's in a man's world, that classic construct.
Yeah.
And she might go, no, I know I'm doing better work here. I know this, but in her mind, she might run a story, but I know I'm, you know, all these men are expecting this. The man might not even, they might not, they might have evolved a little bit.
Yeah.
So we have to be aware of all those different stories, especially with the ones we communicate. And if I lead people to know, sometimes you can drill in and give them the jobs and punish them, and they just won't do it because it hits it. They're stuck in their own story. Now, I'm not saying you should make excuses, because that's very often misread.
Yeah,
you know, I understand, and you know, their conditioning, where they come from, so I need to forgive them. Well, they still have to show up, otherwise they might be in the wrong position.
Yeah.
But it's always important to see the identity behind the identity, see the story behind the story, so you can actually look for the strengths, so you can then value them for how they, who they really are. And then gender doesn't really, what's gender?
Exactly. Exactly. We make such a big deal of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And exactly. What is gender anyway? That's a good question. Thank you for that. From that angle, looking at your story and understanding that your story is, and you're reflecting your story, and that person that you're with is reflecting theirs. I want to talk about the ripple effect to empower leadership beyond gender, or to empower people to be themselves. And to be aware of what you said, your stories, your conditionings, your programming, that we just can somehow separate, be able to see and go back to your source, and always go back to that space, to allowing your soul to shine, as I sometimes say. In your work, because you've been empowering individuals to achieve their highest potential, can we always be at that highest potential?
No. Okay, I remember this is many years ago, and I was working with one of the best singers in Germany, and she asked me, so why, you know, when do I finally reach my full potential? And it suddenly hit me, because we very often in this industry sell, you know, reach your full potential. You cannot reach your full potential, because we are ever expanding. We see something that's very far out of my reach, something that I could do, that from my current perspective is my full potential. I reach for that, contrast hits, I need to grow, I start growing, I need to face my own beliefs, my fears, my filters. I grow into that new position, land on that new position, And if I would never have a desire anymore, I would then live my full potential. However, since we're humans, how our souls continuously want to expand, then something else pops up. Because we've grown, now our horizon has grown. And therefore, in the case of, let's say, a footballer, suddenly you want to play for the better club, or maybe you want to be the captain, or maybe you want to have then the better advertisement deal, or, you know, stuff like this. So there's always something else. So you can, we are ever expanding. So that full potential bit is for me a bit two-faced.
Yeah.
I like to call, I would like to say, how do I continuously stay in my best flow and in that highest vibration that is possible for me today?
This moment.
This moment, so I keep ever expanding.
Yeah.
Now, the ripple effect, so I did a little detour there, sorry. The ripple effect is actually for me, and I've noticed this massively in my own life. The more you do this work and the more you strip away your own filters and your own conditioning, the more you change your inner world. And I always say the more, you're not changing your inner world to change the outer world, but usually once you change the inside, the environment will change, the dynamic around you will change. But the biggest impact, talking about ripple effect, is the more you strip away the bullshit you believe about yourself, that's actually not true, that's conditioned. It's the role you are being born into, you know, or being brought up into. The more you strip that away, the more you are at peace with yourself. The more you are at peace with yourself, the less you need to judge, the clearer you can see others. And the ripple effect is that people trust you more and relax in your presence.
Because you are relaxed in your presence.
Exactly. That does not mean you're pulling back, you're lazy, you're not doing anything. In my experience, that will give you the edge, because you have a completely different clarity. You're not enslaved by your filters and your conditioning. And when you're not enslaved by your triggers, you can see someone for who they really are and haven't decided they're not good enough simply because they wear a red sweater, they have a certain gender, or they don't fit the role. You can make clearer decisions, and that people can feel that. And that ripple. So people relax, they feel themselves better, they're more at peace with themselves, they work better. Just as much as violence has a ripple effect, or nastiness has a ripple effect in your work environment.
Yeah, absolutely. So a practical steps, is there any, when you are talking with your team and with your clients, are there practical steps that people can take? You talk about knowing yourself, trusting yourself, going there, the practical steps to get there. Is there anything that you can share?
Yeah, definitely. Of course, we've spoken about the morning routine, for instance, just to set your day up. That's I find it massively important. Find something that works for you. One thing, especially in the work environment, that I find very helpful is I call it check in, check out. Because energy is contagious. Feelings are contagious. So if I'm in a work environment and I go into a meeting, and I come out of a meeting, I do that even with my when I work with my clients. So if I'm in a work environment, I go into a meeting, I come out of the meeting. Of course, I have set a good intention before. Maybe before I go in and check, okay, where am I emotionally? How do I feel physically? Where's my focus? On a scale from 0 to 10. So it's a 7, a 5, and a 9. Doesn't matter. It's literally just to have a gauge. I go into the meeting and I come out and I do my checkout, or I check in again. So how do I feel now? If I feel the same, great. If I feel better, it was a very good contagious movement. You know, I picked up on, because it was a very and inspiring meeting. However, sometimes we come out and we feel drained. Mm-hmm. We feel kicked in the gut, or, you know, it's, and very often that's not our emotion. We took on the team's emotion, whatever, or, you know, so if I come out and I don't do the check in, check out, and just now, let's say I go in as a seven, I come out as a four, don't check in, check out, go into the next meeting, I go in as a four and not as a seven.
Yeah.
And what will happen? I bring in a lower focus, a lower presence, and that might have an effect on the other people again. And so the worst part is you do that 3-4 times a day, you come home, and who gets it? Your children and your spouse.
Yeah.
And by checking in and checking out in between each meeting, or even hourly, I'm even doing this by myself. I used to have an alarm clock set on my phone every 2 hours going, how do you feel and how do you want to feel?
Mm.
It's just a little, it's tiny, but one of the most
reminding
things you can do in order to realign yourself. And if you come out of the meeting and you dropped on any of the scales, you just go, okay, is that actually me? Very often you will go, oh no, that woman or that man, they're just draining, or that conversation was just draining, but that's actually not me. Okay, shake it off. Therefore, you detach yourself again and you go into the next one.
Mm-hmm.
That's for me a very practical tip. And then find ways to de-stress. There's great breathing exercises. I even have one on my YouTube page where you, in within a few minutes, bring down the stress and anxiety levels in your system. So when you come out of a meeting and you're like this, or you are fearful to go into a meeting, do that breathing exercise, for instance, that you lower your fear hormones and your adrenaline and your cortisol and all of that. So you actually, you balance yourself continuously. These would be my tips.
And these tips can easily become your habit. And your habit can easily become your rituals, and it can easily become your that will be your day-to-day thing to do, and it will help you raise your vibrancy and be in the spot. There was this one thing that you said about in that meeting when you were talking about this, you come into a meeting and you come out and you are more than you were when you came in. Isn't that then exactly the moment where you feel that you reach your highest potential? Couldn't that off be in that? Because I'm just trying to think of catching those moments.
I wouldn't call it the highest potential in that moment. I would call you are, for me, that would be absolute flow. You are in an inspired moment where, in an inspired collaboration. It's a co-creation at its best.
At its best, because you were in that space and you were vibrating, other people are as well, and you managed to hold the space there.
And because you said that before, you know, it becomes your habit, that becomes your ritual, and that, I wanted to say, and that becomes intrinsic.
Mm-hmm.
So if I have that moment, I would love to share a little bit about this, because when I started doing this breathing exercise, I call it the heart breathing. Some people call it the 2X breathing. I did it probably 20 times a day. Whenever I felt stressed, I brought my system down. And of course it makes a bit of sound, and you know, you can't do this everywhere. And then I realized I can do it a bit more silently. But what was interesting is I needed it less and less and less, because I used it in the beginning and the end of my day. But what was really interesting is at some point I realized I didn't actively need to do it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It had flipped in my system as a warning signal. So suddenly my system would just go, and I would go, oh, there seems to be a stress.
Mm-hmm.
Because my body has learned over years with that technique to de-stress, it would de-stress itself. I could therefore then do it in a conversation. I've even done it on stage. I used to be on stage myself. They're not mid-song while I'm singing, but because I've practiced it so much, it becomes intrinsic. And for any leader, for me, for any human being, that's gold, absolute gold.
That is an absolute gold. I agree with you. And so true. So very true. Gosh, this is beautiful. I could talk to you forever, Guido, on this matter. Any final words that you want to share with my audience and the readers of the book, Leadership Beyond Gender?
Start small, but start. I think people always think they need to, you know, they need to climb the biggest mountains. They need to tackle the big topics in their lives. They need to have an hour morning routine. No, if you can do 3 minutes before you open your phone, do 3 minutes, but do them every day. Mm-hmm. Because that you will get a certain pride that you're taking care of yourself first. And then it might be 4 minutes. If you don't want to tackle the big emotional issues, find something that de-stresses you. Just start with something so you can expand, because it's not about leadership at all. This is about you being able to enjoy who you are. And if you're a leader, you might be born to be a leader. Most likely, you are in the position you are meant to be in. You might as well learn how to enjoy it.
Yeah. You might as well learn to enjoy it, because at the end of the day, you're never going to get out of this life alive anyway.
Yes, exactly.
We got it. Thank you, Guido, once more for your beautiful insights and magical tips.
Thank you for letting me speak.